October 18th, 2020. Welcome to the Sunday worship service of New Hope Church. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your gathering us here together and to share your wisdom, your word. And as we go through our version of wilderness, open our hearts and our mind, fill our hearts, fill our life with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 and 14 and through 15. Then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answering, said to him, "Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he permitted him. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on the bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and said to him, "All these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall not worship the Lord your God. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. Chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." 19. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Amen. We have learned from the series Manna in the Wilderness that having manna and enjoying the rest are not the same. It is closely tied but should be treated as a separate and yet relatable goals. Also, so far we have focused on the situation of wilderness in man's world, but today we focus on the experience of wilderness from Jesus' side of the story. It sheds the light on our wilderness too. Wilderness as a grand scale of journey in times, that's the first item. And second item would be that a wilderness as the immediate reality of daily encounters in our life. First, wilderness of Jesus shows the season of life in man with a heavenly mission. According to Exodus' scheme, man's spiritual journey begins at Egypt of slavery, goes through the threat of a Red Sea, and passes through the suffering of a wilderness, and crosses yet another water by the River Jordan, and finally enters the promised land, Canaan. But Jesus' life story, life journey, takes the course in the opposite of this direction from man. Jesus first leaves his home behind to receive the baptism of water at Jordan. The baptism ceremony identified Jesus' fate with the suffering of death from the consequences of a man's sin, which he was not part of it at all. He came out from the water of death only to find himself with the life of yet another suffering of man in the wilderness. In wilderness, Jesus encountered the perennial issues of mankind that have been tormenting and keeping the man in the holding cage of captivity as a restless wanderer in the perpetual wilderness. Having fulfilled the task of wilderness like Moses, Jesus returns to the land and still controlled by the representatives of Satan. As Moses has challenged Pharaoh and his subjects, let my people go and they worship me, Jesus returned to his hometown, which he had left for the desert. Upon entering, he declared a war cry against Satan, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus has announced the good news of freedom, but a very bad news to the power holders of this slave kingdom. In the end, Jesus gained a few disciples who carry on the delivering the good news of the coming kingdom of God. "Follow me and I will make you the fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Jesus challenges these men and women. Out of them he forged a new nation of God's priesthood to send them back to release the people from the captivity of sin and death in the land of Egypt, from the grip of Satan. For that to occur, these followers of Jesus, they had to also have to follow the example of their master Jesus. They also had to leave behind the comfort of their home life, endure the harsh existence and life in the wildernesses and tests, and persist and yet in preaching of God's saving work through his Son Jesus Christ. These metrics of relationships center on the life and work of Jesus and his living word and missions. We call it the church, of which you and I are formed into a body of relationships. Second, the wilderness of Jesus is also experienced by daily encountering of being restlessness. At the first test, Satan challenged Jesus to prove his worth and claim as a son of God by his performance. Since the fall at the Garden of Eden, man has been driven to locate his security and discover his identity from his work and achievement. Work is a blessing from God. So much so, Jesus rebutted his doubters by saying, "My Father is working until now, and I myself am working." Work was given before God's promise of food as bodily provisions. Work is the creation mandate before the fall, and after the fall, God has added another layer of purpose in work. We recreate the order and design that heals and restores after God's heart and intentions. People and the world experiences God's restorative presence and healing power through our work. Work is very important, but still, work does not carry the weight of being the ultimate goal of my life, nor eternal foundation of my worth as God's child. I am more than a collection of my works, however grandiose they may be. We need to repent the sin, to retrieve work as a sole measure to assert my success. We need to restore the rest in work and man who is lost in the wilderness of works. Only Jesus and his works of salvation will save me and my works. Second, Jesus' second strategy to keep us in the daily anxiousness of wilderness is to present the success by the scheme of a pyramid. Success is measured by the burden of subjugation as many people as possible. Satan tested Jesus to prove his power. There was the sacrifices of as many people, as many persons as possible, and your influence, they can bend the people's mind at will. It is this relentless drive of power-grabbing pyramid scheme under which everyone is to act and think like slaves. In the form of power and popularity, it is the fear factor that best serves the Satan's purpose over men, alienating men from each other in their struggle, grabbing the centers and not being pushed away to the margins. Apostle Paul was driven by this power success pyramid scheme. In his case, a religious fervor tied with an ethnic and class identification, that deadly combination. But after his empowering encounter with the humble suffering Messiah Jesus, his outlook took the upside down turn from this worldly point of view, but to the right side up from the heavenly point of view. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul says, "Have this attitude, or you may say altitude, in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus has achieved his dominion by creating communion with man and man and between God and man." The third battle tactic that Satan employs for men to keep man in the wilderness is to create another distorted vision of happiness. It is through and by owning more skin. Researchers prove the point how the fMRI scan of brain holders actually show clear differences in the region of brain activities which they were shown to the objects they have been holding. This view of owning is closely tied in a sensor registry of happiness, even in man's brain. Activities such as collecting, keeping, in other words, saving, and spending that involved with a sense of owning also show same trigger pattern of happiness feeling. The drawback is that in order for that person to feel happy, to keep happy, to increase happy, he actually has found an easy way out to get the sense of instant euphoria, which is devoid of meaning and the outcome for his community. It works like a drug and is bound to the automatic trigger happy repetition of meaningless acts of collecting, keeping, and spending. But Jesus has flatly rejected that logic of happiness based on the ownership. Instead, he has offered the other alternative. It is not the desperate holding of ownership that gives happiness, Jesus says, and shown the example, but that it is by passing of ownership for others' sake to share with others. It is not done by owning or passing, but is achieved by your belonging to the person Jesus, who owns you by his disowning of himself, his act of self-abandonment. Some 20 years ago, I had an opportunity in Oaxaca, Mexico, teaching lay people who serve as local church leaders and preachers. On the last day of their mission, one student who was a former gang member from Mexico City carved out scripture verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10 on a small wood piece. And in Spanish, I still keeping it. And it goes like this. Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Since then, the verse has buttressed me in my lifestyle, ministry outlook, and ground for happiness. What is yours? What is your vision of happiness? What is your act of happiness? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your charge for us. Thank you for giving us the long outlook of our lifespan and discerning the stage of my life, how you lead us in time. Thank you for your timely message as daily encounter of wilderness. And it is not by what I do. It is not by where I am. It is not by what I own, what I have. I can remove this wilderness from my heart and in my life and from the world only by bringing the Jesus Sabbath and rest, making him the source of my identity and the source of my security and safety and success even. May the mercy of Father God, love of Jesus Christ, communion and fellowship of the same fold Holy Spiritness be upon us, upon those who hear this message, upon their wilderness, saturate that their wilderness with your spirit, upon their family, upon their church, upon their hearts and mind, upon their neighbors, as they go through and coping with this COVID-19 crisis, continue to find the solace and security and the spiritual reservoir from the person and works and words of Jesus Christ. Amen.